Good morning once again. Forgive my voice, it's down an octave somewhere. I had a bit of a cold, so if you'll put up with it, I'll do my very best to teach you from this angle and with this voice. Now, we're looking at Acts of the Apostles, and there are three people that I want you to see. You won't get to see them all in this one program, but we will go on in the next program or two, and hopefully we'll discover some really interesting things about these people. Now, there's Philip. You remember, he was the chap that suddenly ran after a chariot, got on board, and we'll talk about that in a moment or two. And then there is Stephen, and you remember that he was the first martyr of this new thing called the Way, or the Christian Church, the Church of our Lord Jesus. Then there is Paul the Apostle. And these three people come up for us from chapter 7 all the way through into the 9th and 10th chapters, and we discover things about them that we can learn from. I would like today to look at the life of Philip, or this one incident in the life of Philip, where we discover in the 8th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, verse 25, where we read, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem. This is Peter and John, and preached the gospel in many villages to the Samaritans. Now the angel of the Lord spake to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran hither to him and heard him read from the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they went on their way and came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, and thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized the eunuch. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, here is a story filled with the most amazing things that only God can do, and it was remarkable how people received the Lord Jesus Christ. But here is the work of the Spirit of the Lord. When the Holy Spirit deals with a man, and leads a man and directs a man, it sometimes seems to people around that something's really seriously odd. But the Holy Spirit does not need the logic of man to understand him. Neither does he need the transportation of man to cause him to travel. We rely so much on what man does and man can do or will do, and yet it really is foolish of us to even think about it. Let me come to this from another angle. I would say to you that if you look at verse 26, you see that Philip has only one direction. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go. He has only one direction. I imagine he said to his wife, The Lord is saying to me, go. His daughters would all look at him and say, Oh my, Daddy's going to be gone again. But the only word he understood was the Lord had spoken to him through the angel and said, Go. It amazes me how many people say, I can go because I've got a degree in something, or I can go because I have got this schooling. I can go because I spent 4 years at this seminary and so many years at this university and so on, so I can go. The thing that I often think about is the simplicity of the early church. The early church was waiting for the Holy Spirit to say, go to such a place. When I first came to Christmas Valley, some friends of mine came to visit and they said, how can you live in such a place as this? You're miles from anywhere, miles from your nearest neighbor. How can you live in the desert? And my answer was simply what Philip had said. The Lord seemed to say to me, go. And we, my wife and I, went. And we have been there for a few years now, and we have been thrilled to bits to be in the place where God wants us. Now, I'm aware that some people would say perhaps that I should move aside or that they're fed up with me. I'm aware of that. That's mankind. But I'm still being obedient to what God told me to do. And I came to the desert place. There is one here and one there that I've been able to help come to know the Lord Jesus. And it's a pretty desolate place. I have been on this road from Jerusalem to Gaza, and it's very much like Christmas Valley, both in its scope and its desertedness. And I realize and recognize that wherever we are, we meet people who are necessary to the kingdom of God. And all we have to do is do what the Holy Spirit teaches us to do, go. Jesus said to his disciples, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And I say to you, said Jesus, this is Matthew 28, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye. The accent surely has to be on the go. Get going. Do it. Doesn't matter how old you are, decrepit you feel. Go ye. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter if you've got the accolades of men wishing you well and clapping their hands and praising you and this, that, and the other. Nothing really matters. Go. Pack up your things and go. I have a friend, and she would be one of the first to say to you that she doesn't feel necessarily led of the Lord to go anywhere, but she keeps her belongings to a bare minimum because she says, one day the Lord will say, go ye, and then I must go, and I must leave all the palaver that man has given to me that I have accumulated over the years. Now, I'm the opposite of that. I'm a bit of a squirrel, only not the best of squirrels, but I'm a bit of a squirrel. My grandfather used to say, here comes Cyril the squirrel. He made a joke of it. At an early age, I started collecting things. To the chagrin of my parents, I collected bottles. Can you imagine? I can't imagine this now. But I collected bottles, and the garage was full of bottles that I collected until a bomb fell and smashed them all to smithereens. Then we had to sweep the glass out into the road, and the road sweepers came and picked it all up, and it was shoveled away with the debris of the house. I've been a collector of things, and I still like to collect things. I can't say that I collect expensive things. I wish they were. But I've collected two or three bits and pieces here and there. Some of them have come from England to this country, and so it goes on. If I have to move again, I've got to collect my collections. But Philip was in the place where he could leave his wife and leave his collections, leave his family, and go into the desert. Now, he only had one direction. Notice, please, he only had one connection. Verse 27 tells us he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He only had one connection, a man from Ethiopia. And I imagine he was quite surprised and quite thrilled that he was going to get a lift on a chariot. The Spirit said to him, go and attach yourself to the chariot. That meant catch up and run along beside it. And he leaned over and said, do you understand what you're reading? He only had one connection. We may go all over the world, and I have. I've travelled all over the world in different places. Of course, there's some places I've not been to. But there are many places I've been to. I like it where it's hot and warm, and that's the best place in the world for me. My wife doesn't like it hot. So I like it very cold, like in Alaska and the North Country. And my wife doesn't like the cold, so we don't go there. So we live in a temperate zone here in Oregon, and it's quite cold in the winter and quite hot in the summer. So we get the best of two worlds. But the interesting thing is that God can say, go, and I have to go. This one connection, it may be the most absurd thing. How can you possibly go to one person in all the world because the Holy Spirit is saying, go to that one person? Why is there a yearning in your heart for one group of people in the world because the Holy Spirit's put it there? Why is a missionary to the back streets of Timbuktu somewhere? Because the Holy Spirit said, go ye, go ye, go ye. So it's with great impact, I say to you, we have to go where the Lord sends us. The other part of this verse, 27, is this. There was only one profession. This man, this Ethiopian, he was in charge of the treasure of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. He came to Jerusalem for to worship who? One God. Now, he was of the nature that you would think in today's historic thinking and geographical equation, you would think that this man was perhaps a Muslim. But there is a great difference between Allah and the God of creation. The God of creation is one God. That's it. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He is the Almighty. He is the wonderful counselor, the Prince of God, the mighty God. He is the one who will never leave us nor forsake us, and he is personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so go on his behalf and meet the rest of the world. Today you got up. Today you're listening to this program because you're awake. Now go ye and tell someone about Jesus. Now there's lots of arguments that one can make here. But will you notice, please, in verse 29 we read his only instruction. Then the Spirit said to him, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read. Now, the one instruction was, go to the chariot. So he ran after the chariot and he got there. And I'm quite sure the man sitting in the chariot reading looked up and said, what's he running up here for? In my mind, I can picture this man, Philip, a little puffed, as it were, in verse 30, saying, understandest what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? Tremendously important. Do you understand what you're reading? Now, I know that you know about God. I know you know about Jesus Christ. I know you know about Easter. I know you know about Christmas. Everybody knows those things. Surely by now we understand the nativity scene is the scene that we would go to court over. So we can get and understand the things of the cross, which is Easter. And so surely we can go to court to defend the cross on the top of a hill that is private land that the people of the city don't like to see, or some atheist doesn't care for us to keep. And so there is an uproar of sorts, and we have to get rid of the nativity scene. We have to get rid of the cross because it becomes illegal to have such symbols. Then you're going to have to go to the jeweler, and you're going to have to say to the jeweler, please stop making crosses. And you're going to have to go to all the women and a lot of the men and say, stop wearing crosses round your neck. So what are we doing in this country of ours, in this time? We are ignoring the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you understand what you're doing? Do you understand all this stuff that you're reading that is anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Christ? Do you understand what's going on? I'm sure the majority of people do not. But I'm quite sure that when we ignore the fact that we are sent to say to people, this is what you're doing, we have difficulty doing it. Will you look at this only instruction? Because it leads to the only perception. The man says in verse 31, how can I know, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture from which he read, etc., was from Isaiah. Now, when you start to read from Isaiah, you start to read of the suffering of the Lord Jesus. And the man is saying, tell me about this. Is he speaking about himself, the prophet? Or is he telling me of somebody else, the Son of God? And Philip was able to say to him, he's talking of the Son of God, who recently was crucified outside Jerusalem, who recently outside Jerusalem bore a tremendous testimony to the living God. And he put all things in the hands of God. He said at the end of this terrible time, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up the ghost, or he gave up his spirit. Like a man may give up his most pleasant and treasured thing, he took his life and gave it up to God. He expired. People say Jesus died of a broken heart. He did not. Jesus died with a broken heart, I expect, but not of it. He died because it came the time, because he had power over life, he had power over death, and Jesus revealed the power over life and death. And he said in John 10 how he could lay down his life or give up, whichever way you want to put this, his life. And in Isaiah it was prophesied. Wow. To imagine that so many years previous, Isaiah had had the instruction of God to write down that the Lord Jesus, the Son of the living God, the person whom God was very thrilled to know and call his Son, had also said, listen to him, hear ye him. This same Jesus gave up his life. As if I might take the analogy just a tad farther, it's as if he took his life and put it in a package. It was the body of Jesus. And then Jesus gave up that body, that packaging, and said, this is my life given for men and women and children to come to know the living God. And he made himself a sacrifice. He thought it not robbery to take upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, and to dwell among us. But Jesus laid down his life. Now listen to that scripture that says, and no man taketh it from me. So when people say he was murdered, that would mean another person took his life from him. And that's not quite correct. When people say he was destroyed, he was not destroyed. Because in 3 days he came back. He was master of life and death. And when he laid down his life, the scripture says, I lay it down, said Jesus, that I may take it up again. He had already said when he was looking over Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have collected you as a hen collects her chicks when the fire is coming across the prairie. And then Jesus had said, I lay down my life in the same way that chick would. In the same way the chicken would lay down her life for all the darling little chicks that she had produced. But then Jesus added this, but ye would not. In other words, you wouldn't believe me. And people do not today believe that Jesus came back from the dead. We like the idea of a Easter holiday, although we're not allowed to say that anymore, supposedly. But I'm not a politically correct person, and I don't care if anybody challenges me on that or not. I don't think I need to be politically correct. I think I need to be biblically correct. And in the correctness of the Word of God, I will tell you this, that the Word of God tells me and teaches that Jesus laid down his life so that he, when he wanted to, could take up his life, and he did. 3 days later, he was walking and talking with these same people that saw him crucified. So we see some interesting things. He only had one direction. His only connection was the man to whom he was to speak. His only profession was that of God. His only instruction was to go near and teach this man and show this man the scripture that he was reading. And his only perception to that man was fairly easy to understand. His perception was simply this, that he could explain the word. Now, lastly today, I want to show you his only prescription that can come from the word of God. It's found also in verse 35, which tells us there's a terrific thing. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, this only prescription, this is what we're talking about, Philip said. This is what the Bible is saying, Philip said. This is how to conduct your life, Philip said. Now it's up to you. Oh, the man is enormously impressed by the word of God and the fact that the Spirit of God has sent the man of God to tell him of the word of God. Now get the whole substance of this. This is not a man being a missionary. This is a man being led of the Spirit of God. This is not a man being a preacher. This is a man led of God. When you get into this, you will quickly see there was only one confession. And in verse 36, as they went their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Listen now to Philip. He said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, this is his confession, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Why did he believe that? Because Philip had given him the only prescription of the scripture that he was reading. And it was talking of Jesus. And the answer to your life and to mine, the answer to the problems of our political situation and our worldly global situation in this time that we live in, is the scripture. It is the word of God. If you want hope, look to Jesus. If you want rest, look to Jesus. If you want to see salvation, then look to Jesus. And if you want to understand what God has given to us as a tremendous and wonderful salvation, look to Jesus. Because everything is around him. In him, all things that exist, live and move and have their being are found in Jesus. Not in a politician, not in elections. All this time that the whole world is wasting over fussing about money and fussing about people and fussing about this, that and the other legality. What a lot of hogwash. What a lot of hot air. What an enormous amount of things are being wasted. What resources are being just thrown away because we do not believe in Jesus. So today, I ask you, would you be like the Ethiopian eunuch and say, "I don't understand the scripture"? Would you turn to somebody who does understand it and ask them to explain it? And ask them to explain Jesus to you? And make sure that you're right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we ask that you will bless us, lead, guide, and direct us. Fill us with your Spirit. Cause us to come closer, closer, closer to you. that we may know in whom we have believed. Be persuaded that he is able to keep what we have committed unto him against that terrifying day. Amen. Lord, thank you. Now, thank you for listening. We'll see you again. Bye-bye.